For the reading of our text, we would like to offer a few prayers today on behalf of a couple of our students. Jeremy Beatty is presently undergoing an appendectomy right now and two blocks away. And likewise, in the same hospital, Luke Milner is recovering from brain surgery yesterday. He is doing well. Let us pray. Lord God, our Heavenly Father, on this Veterans Day, we are grateful for the many servants of our nation who have made great sacrifices so that we might enjoy the freedom to worship you. Be with our men and women in uniform, especially those who are in harm's way. At your invitation, we approach you today on behalf of Jeremy Beatty, Guide the hands of those who conduct his surgery, and according to your will, grant him a full recovery. We thank you for bringing your child, Luke Milner, safely through his operation and ask that you would continue to grant him restoration of full health. We pray all of this in Christ's saving name. Amen. The text before us is taken from Matthew's 24th chapter, beginning with verse 42, where our Lord says, "Watch therefore, for you do not know what hour your Lord is coming. But know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect." These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would increase our faith through them. Amen. My mom attended Bethany College back in the 1940s, and she told the story to us once that during her day, there was a thief going through the women's dorm up in Anderson Hall. And students, young women, were losing money to this thief, and so they decided to set up a sting to catch the thief. And what they did back then, Bethany was so small, and you got mail so infrequently, you didn't have all the ads and things we get today, that they would often have everybody get together after chapel and hand out mail and announce who got mail. And they had one young lady get an envelope from her parents and open it in front of all the students and say, "I got $50 from my parents," which would be like $400 today. And she then placed it on top of her dresser, and they had about four other close friends of hers stand in her closet with the door slightly cracked in order to catch a thief. And they got her. They caught her. So watch out. Have you ever had something stolen from you? Something taken, especially when it's right out of your house, right out of your garage? There's a sense of violation that takes place, a sense of feeling like, not only did I lose something, but that somebody was that close to something so important to you. There's a real sense of violation. Our Lord Jesus uses the imagery of a thief sneaking into someone's house to steal something of value in order to teach us a very important spiritual lesson today. And that has to do with the high degree of lethargy, apathy, that can grow inside of us. The thief of unbelief that Jesus is talking about in our text is not someone else or the devil. It's us. It's you. It's me. It's the lethargy that can grow in our hearts. Remember that parable that Jesus tells of the sower and the four different types of soil and the seed that goes down into that soil? All the different types of hearers? The one that always sticks with me the most is that third type, where a plant has started to grow. Faith in him as Savior has started to grow. A love for God and the kingdom of God has started to grow in someone's heart. But also next to that in their life has started to grow the weeds of materialism or the cares of this world or the pleasures of this world, the stuff you can get in this life. And those weeds, they don't take our faith away like that. They take our faith away slowly, very slowly and gently, creeping into our minds as we get older and starting to convince us that maybe other things are a little more important than caring about God. That's the type of lethargy that our Lord is concerned about in our text. I am so frequently tempted by what I'm going to call the not right now syndrome. I've been blessed to grow up in just an amazing Christian family with Christian education my whole life. I've been blessed to have this. I even get paid to study it and teach it. I have been so blessed to have this Christian faith present in my life. But I'm also very tempted at times to think in terms of, you know, this heaven stuff and loving Christ and his word and sacrament. It's important, yeah. But boy, there's a lot of other great stuff I could be pursuing right now with my life. And it's very easy for us to start pushing it off and having it shift a little bit in our priorities so that we start thinking that It's important, but you know, not right now. I've got better things to be doing with my life right now. And we start to lose our intensity of our grip upon our Savior and His grace. What in my life, what in your life, in your heart right now, is causing your grip on your Savior to weaken? This is what Jesus is talking about. That's the thief that He's talking about. The challenge we have today is that we're in this waiting game until our Lord returns, or until He comes to take us from this life. And the longer that takes for us, and the further away we get from when He has given us these words, the more difficult it becomes to stay vigilant. You can see it in kids. Imagine two little children whose uncle has said to them, "This afternoon I'm going to come by and pick you up, and we're going to go to Valley Fair. And I want you to be ready, waiting for me at the window." At 1 o'clock in the afternoon, boy, they would be right there, nose pressed against the glass. 4:30, they're watching cartoons. The longer it takes for us, the more lethargic and apathetic I can start to get. The New Testament authors certainly give us the understanding that our Lord's return will be imminent. And at the same time, they also give an indication that there's going to be a waiting period as well. 5 separate times in the New Testament, authors use this imagery that our Lord does, that His return will be like the coming of a thief in the night when people least expect it. Years ago, when our family used to live in Florida, there was a report that came from the Bahamas. A horrible hurricane had swept through the Bahamas. And because the police and emergency, all of those officials were unable to get out because of the storm, there was widespread looting in many of the homes and stores. And I remember later seeing a video of the store owners who were sitting perched up on top of the roofs of their stores with shotguns, trying to protect their goods and their valuables. Their entire livelihood was at stake. Our Lord's warning to us in our text today is not to terrify us and frighten us, but it's to wake us up, and it's to admonish us to spiritual vigilance. He knows the great cost that it has taken to buy the house that He wants us to protect. It took His very own blood shed for us on the cross. He knows what it would be like for us to lose the house. He knows what it would be like for us if we left this life without having it. And that's why He wants us to be so vigilant. That's the last thing He wants, is for us to miss out on that. He also knows the great value that your personal individual soul has in the heart of our Heavenly Father. The angels were not worth the blood of His Son to come and rescue. The planet we live on was not worth the blood of His Son to come and rescue. The stars, the moon, and the planets were not worth the blood of God's Son to rescue. But you were. Your soul, your eternal existence to enjoy heaven, that was worth it. And our Lord understands how significant this is. And He knows also how amazingly wonderful and valuable the property is that He's already won for us. It's something that we can only try to imagine in this life, but He's lived there, and He lives there now. He has been there. He's enjoyed this bliss. And His heart is filled with a longing for you and me to not miss out on that. And that's why He came and died and rose again, and that's why He is giving us this admonition to stay so vigilant. So spiritually, grab your shotgun and get up on the roof of your house and protect this precious faith that God has given you. Amen. Please rise for our prayer. I ask that you turn to page 170 in the front part of your hymn book, and you'll find there the prayer for Friday morning. Abba, my dear Father, help me this morning and always, that I may worship you in spirit and truth, and desire nothing but that which is in accord with your will. Enlighten me with your Holy Spirit, and cleanse my conscience from all dead works, that today and evermore I may serve you in faith in your Son, Jesus Christ, and in love to him, for you have given and bestowed upon me your beloved Son, who is made to me wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Grant also that I may not resist your grace and turn your great gift from me, but that I may receive your Son in my heart and not live to myself, but to him who was delivered for my sins and was raised again for my justification. Lord, this shall be my glory and my joy, to draw from you as the true fountain for grace, strength and blessing unto every good work. Do not leave me nor forsake me. Amen.